Is that working? Yeah, tack it out. Beautiful.
Where's the master volume on this bitch?
Right here.
Teeny dime down.
Down for everything? Oh, that's just for the headphones.
No, that's good.
Is that fine?
It's just loud in my head.
Yeah, okay.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
No, it's only been... Like, go ahead with the intro while I get my notes.
Hi, this is Scrimmy, and Robbie is on his phone, and we're not High Riff Maneuvers, but this is High Riff Maneuvers.
We're doing High Riff Maneuvers.
We're doing High Riff Maneuvers.
That's what we're doing.
Are you going to be the floor?
Yeah, I like the shag carpet.
Right? You got just vacuumed it yesterday.
Oh, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Definitely less hair than last time, which I appreciate.
Cat litter pellets on everything.
Well, it's better than like actual bat shit.
Which I don't think there's a bat up there anymore because I went up there the other day. No bat shit anywhere.
Well, does it just disappear? Did someone clean it?
I vacuumed it.
Oh, okay.
Like, the fall.
Oh, and there's nothing up there
now? There's nothing up there because the bat got down here.
Oh, I think I remember you telling me about that. Yeah,
that was
horrible.
Well, that was in the middle of the night shit. Like,
right.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, look at that. Look at, I have like a paragraph for the first album and then a sentence because I was too busy fucking loving it.
Okay. I took notes for once.
For the first time.
But they're not a lot of notes.
I never take a lot, just little highlights.
And I have more to say about one than the other.
Okay.
But, welcome to High Riff Maneuvers. I'm Scrimmy.
I'm Robbie.
And we're this High Riff Maneuvers.
I chose the year 2006 because I'm uncreative. And it's actually kind of fun to look at the albums that came out that year.
Or what I was listening to. Because that year turned out to be like big for me. I was like, oh shit, oh shit.
this is harder than I thought.
It was really hard. Like, it took me a week to send you, because I was like stewing on it. I'm like, I don't know which ones to pick.
Well, you didn't send me the second one until like last week.
I knew the first one I was definitely going to send you.
Okay.
And then the second one I had to like really like flip through some shit.
Okay.
It was a lot. It was a weird year.
Which is fun. So like... I picked 2006 because I wanted to send you Ghoul's Splatter Thrash.
Okay.
But then when I started looking through 2006, I was like, no, I'm going to send them these. And I didn't even get to like whenever Splatter Thrash got released that year. Like, I didn't get past like June or July when I was looking at like the albums released. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it goes like, you know, it starts in January or whatever the page I was looking at.
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But we picked, I am going to say, this is some good shit, in my opinion. You want to start?
Okay.
You want me to start? You want to go?
Sure, I'll go.
Okay.
Because, all right, so the first one that Scrimmy sent me.
Got you again.
You never cease to surprise... amaze and disappoint, like all at the same time. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. It's one of the many reasons I love you.
Good.
So it was the Black Parade by is it My Chemical Romance?
Correct.
Yeah, I didn't put that in my notes. I just realized that. Anyway, I will say, here's the thing. I will say, I was surprised. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to. In fact, I don't actually hate it. I will say I do not enjoy the whiny vocals at all. Like, it is so annoying. That dude's vocal range is very small.
Significantly less whiny than the albums before that. Get the-
Oh, that's probably why I just totally checked out. Because I think... like their debut came out like when I was like a freshman in college or whatever. And my girlfriend at the time fucking loved it. Okay. And it was so god just annoying. Mm-hmm. It's like, this voice is so fucking annoying. Like, the whole album is just the same whiny, screamy voice.
But this album is not the same at all, except for, like...
So, but, like I said...
A lot of callbacks.
The vocal range is not great, so it's pretty whiny and annoying to me. To me.
That's fair.
All right. So, the first two songs, annoying. I just wrote first two songs suck. Track three is pretty listenable, and this is what I...
You will get that.
Musically, I actually enjoyed the album musically overall, because I think early on there it was just like probably similar to their earlier stuff where it was just kind of generic screamo shitty.
Okay.
Or actually, no, I think it opens up with kind of like a piano thing or something. I don't know, whatever. But then, yeah, like, and then it starts getting, like almost like experimental for them or whatever. Like they start changing it up musically.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, that song House of Wolves sounds like a Toadies song. So that's pretty cool. Cause I really like the Toadies. That song Mama, that's like a cool, weird, Gogol Bordello vibe to it. And then the chorus, it's like Tim sucks.
Burton movie.
Yeah, like a weird kind of like a gypsy feel to it.
Yeah.
And then the chorus is not like that at all. It's fucking annoying. But then it goes back into it for the verse and shit. It's like, what? I don't know. So it is, it's a weird fucking album. But like, it's, I don't know.
It moves like a... So the way I
feel like they probably wanted to do a concept.
I think of that's some what it kind. Was.
Yeah, it's a concept
because
album.
Because there's a lot of callbacks throughout the whole thing. There's like hooks and melodies.
Right. And there's references to earlier songs later. Like lyrically, it's like a concept record.
I think it's like I guess it would be punk rock or like whatever, but it's like they're kind of like The Wall. It moves like that, and like there's again like callback melodies and shit
in the background.
And it kind of tells a story about like addiction and isolation and whatnot. For the record, I'm not a My Chemical Romance fan.
I know. I like how you texted that to me. Like, hey, just for the record, I don't listen to their other stuff.
Well, I'm not familiar enough with it to have an opinion.
Yeah,
and I was already like 26. When they were starting to blow up. And then I just ended up with Black Parade. And I fucking...
And it spoke to you.
It spoke to me. I thought it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and then I couldn't care less about anything else they've ever done. I've never gone out of my way for any of it.
All right.
I would probably buy a vinyl if it was like less than $40.
Well, like a Black Parade vinyl?
Yeah. I would probably spend the money on it to have it. I like it that much.
But it's all expensive.
It's all expensive.
Fuck that noise.
Those records are expensive.
Yeah, did you hear Jack White's fucking thing? He put out like a 30-second YouTube video or whatever.
Get the record
the three major labels to open up their own printing or pressing plants.
Yep.
Because apparently he opened up a small one.
Yeah, it's
for
awesome.
His label.
There's a documentary about it on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
It shows like
all I have bought like. I love like they're like live Blue Room recordings or whatever. I don't know if they're called the Blue Room, but they like Sleep did a concert there.
Oh yeah, Third Man put out their last couple singles, I think.
Or the last couple albums, yeah. The last couple singles and that one Sciences.
Yeah. So Jack White knows what's up.
And then, I put out a live. It was, you had to be part of like their vinyl club or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I joined it, got that record, and then I canceled my membership. But like the way that, and I also got like a cool, like Dinosaur Jr. 7-inch that they recorded there.
So one of the cool things about that place was that they have this booth that you can just go in and sing. You pay like so much money, and it's lathe recording as your. Singing in the thing or playing acoustic.
Right.
But like that's your take.
Right.
That's what you get. And then you get a lathe cut copy of your record.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if they like keep that shit because they might.
Weird.
It's still kind of neat.
Well, I don't know.
It's like a record printing plant that you can like go do shit at
and record at.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. You first.
Oh, album. Okay. So
what?
You sent me Built to Spill.
Yeah.
You in Reverse.
Yeah. What?
Built to Spill is a cool band.
Yeah.
I was working in a screen printing shop for a while, and my boss was really into these kinds of bands. And so we listened to a shitload of this kind of stuff. Like, that's where I heard Guided by Voices and like a lot of weird Beck albums I'd never heard of.
It's like all, yeah.
Ween, lots of Ween.
It's really what Jenny's into. Like, Jenny turned me on to Built to Spill.
So
if you like Spoon, you like Built to Spill.
Well, that's another thing. There's a couple of other bands.
Yeah.
So I don't have any like specific notes. Like, if you know Built to Spill, like they kind of have a thing.
Yeah.
They have a sound.
A tone.
And from what I read about their Wikipedia is that his intention was to change band members per album to change shit up.
Oh, really?
Because it's just kind of one guy.
Ah.
I don't know his name.
I know nothing about the band.
And they have a shitload of albums.
I enjoy their music.
And
like the first song on You in Reverse is fucking, I could listen to that all day.
I played it like over and over and over at work yesterday, and I was
like the album,
yeah. And then I listened to it a bunch of I was really into it. That, like, again, they have a sound, so like none of it really like individually, none of the songs really stick to me, but like I can put it on
as an album
and just like
it's just
kick it
good.
And like it was, yeah, I really enjoyed it for that.
Okay,
and it's good. Like,
I
would probably buy a record for them if I was shuffling through something. I'm like, oh, $10, cool. They remind me of two other bands, and I don't know. Do you ever hear a Pinback?
It almost sounds familiar, but I don't know.
I
want to
say they're like
all
the same time period.
Okay.
Pinback is like the same vibe, like sound,
and the singer
is super similar. But their songs are a little bit more like clearer and like there's, I don't want to say upbeat,
poppy.
It's
a little like a touch of pop
over this.
Right. It still has that indie rock feel.
Yes,
but with a touch of pop.
There's
maybe some more hooks.
Or
the way that it's recorded, maybe.
The vocals are similar. The instrumentation is like they both kind of take a different approach.
Oh, the fucking cat. I didn't even notice.
Shocking.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's water.
Well, I feel bad.
I kind of told you that was going to happen.
Well, that's kind of why I feel bad.
So, anyway.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. The cat did it, not you. I'll deal with him later. So, they remind me of Pinback, and they also remind me of Death Cab.
Oh, yeah?
They have that. All three of those bands to me, I get the same, like,
similar vibe.
I could just put this on and it like all kind of like Death Cab's definitely got like hooks more.
Yeah, they're kind of like,
but they have that sound.
Okay. And I never really got into Death Cab.
I'm not into it. It's just one of those bands that I enjoy it when it's on and I probably got to be in a mood. They're sad. They're fucking sad.
So sad.
But it's so good at the same time. Like those lyrics, you know what I really fucking so like real. But anyway.
Yeah.
Built to Spill, put it on at work. People were very surprised that I put it on.
I'm like, really?
It's really good. One of my bosses really likes it.
No, it's
great. Super album. Into it. Yeah. He was like, "Who put this on?" And I'm like, "I did." And then we just put the album on repeat.
Nice, nice, nice.
That cat is cruising for.
All right. Well, I have nothing else over there.
He's gonna get on your shoulder.
You fucker! I'm gonna kill your cat. I mean, not really, but.
But. You know, I can't do anything for you.
Don't worry about it. I'll deal with it.
I'm watching him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Built to Spill, You in Reverse is quite enjoyable.
That's actually the only album I have by them on vinyl.
Okay.
Jenny's got a few of their CDs. But yeah, like I saw it when we were living
and
out in
people
Oregon.
People that are into that band are into that fucking band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Built to Spill, my favorite band. I'm like, cool.
Well,
they sound just like that.
I don't think their fans talk like that.
I think.
Oh, you got me. You got me. All right. We saw that once when we were living out in Oregon. It was pretty cool.
I was like, was it awesome?
It was, yeah. They were actually opening for the Flaming Lips. It was great.
That'd be awesome.
It was outside. It was great.
Perfect.
At the time, they had like, because the main guy, he sings and does guitar, but then they had two other guitarists. So they had three guitars, which is always interesting.
You're interesting.
Yeah. I guess. For a boring stoner.
They're not boring.
Anyway. Moving on. So
I sent you another record that I think is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was. I didn't write. What was her name?
Karina Round.
Karina Round. And the album was Slow Motion Addict.
So good.
And this is what I started, I think, on like track two or three. I wrote this note down. It starts with a very early to mid 90s girl, like G-R-R-L, yeah. Girl rock thing. And that's the only thing I wrote down, because then I was just entranced by the fucking album. It's so fucking good.
It's so good.
It's so good. Again, I'm not going to like pick out song titles, because I was just listening. I listened to it back to back. Like the first time I listened to it, and then I was like, that was awesome. I'm going to listen to it again.
Yeah.
And then I listened to it like the next day, and then another time between then and
she's
now.
Awesome.
And I think I tried listening to like maybe her first record.
It's different.
And I wasn't in the mood for that one.
I was into that one already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then a friend of mine, I forgot about her, because okay. The first record's good. It's just not great.
Yeah, like I wasn't, especially like, after listening to this, I was like, yeah, I'll check this one out some other time.
I was talking about lady singers with a friend of mine, and I was like, I got this lady called Karina Round's first album, and they're like, you know, she's got another record out. I'm like, you know who she is?
Was this like her second record?
Or third? I was talking about the first one, and then right. This person was telling me, like, she's got another album out now. Like, did you hear it? I'm like, no. I didn't.
Right.
And she made me listen to it, and I was like, holy fuck. And it is a masterpiece of a record.
It's really good.
Really, again, interesting songwriting.
There's a lot of different textures throughout the album. Like, it starts out, like I wrote down, it starts off with like that kind of angry girl.
Yep.
But like good, like kind of like Babes in Toyland. Or,
it doesn't start with Stolen Car, does it?
I don't remember any of them.
Slow Down's another good one.
But like, and then like later on in the album, it gets like the vocal range is, I don't know, it just changes. Like, I don't know, stylistically, but you don't really know, like, I don't know. It's not drastic. It's just throughout the album, it ends different than the way it starts.
That's a fun get high record.
And it was. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Just all around. It's great.
Karina Round is the shit. And if anybody isn't aware of, she is also the other half of Pussifer with Maynard from Tool.
And then there's like another person.
Yeah.
Full-time. I don't know.
I don't know who it is.
I don't know.
Most people only know of Pussifer because of
Maynard.
Of Maynard. Yeah. And I'm like, this lady's like.
Oh, she's from England, I guess.
She's out there.
I did like look up a little bit of her. I was like, oh, she's in England. Yeah. I'll probably never get to see her live.
Well, Pussifer's coming around.
Yeah, I know.
I might go just because Moody Black's opening.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you interviewed them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's cool.
Yep. So.
Where's that?
They're playing House of Blues. I don't know the exact date, but it's like, I want to say it's in the fall or maybe summer. I don't know. But either way, they're coming to House of Blues. I might go to see some Moody Black, and I'd like to see Karina Round in person.
Yeah.
I mean, they put on a weird show.
Yeah,
I don't know their music.
Yeah. It's more of like a, what's that, the House
like
of Blues?
More mechanical sounding. Like,
well, a dude that used to work for me is like obsessed with Tool and Maynard and everything Maynard. So he's seen Pussifer like three or four times or whatever. And he was telling me like, it's more of like a, almost kind of like a theater vibe where like it's a seated event and you know, it's like, oh, it's kind of cool.
They do a thing.
Yeah. It's like a set. And like each album is a different concept or whatever.
Yeah.
So, oh, whatever. If you're into artsy shit, I'm sure it's awesome.
Or if you're into Tool.
Or if you're, yeah, if you're obsessed with Maynard, like other.
I feel like Tool fans would go to that just because of Maynard, and then yeah. They would bitch about it not sounding like Tool.
I don't know. Maybe some of them.
They'd be like, I don't really like Pussifer, but Maynard.
But yeah, wow. Like, well, that was the thing, is like the dude that worked for me, he was like, he listened to all different kinds of shit, so he just appreciated it for what it was. And he appreciated that it wasn't Tool, because it's not Tool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Anyway, so yeah, that's all I got. Karina Round, check out Slow Motion Addict. It's fucking great album.
So good.
So good.
And so for my last record that Robbie sent me.
The second one. Oh, yeah, I forget which one was it.
It was Enslaved's Rune.
Oh, that's right.
Way different than their earlier shit.
Yeah, that's when they're going through like their progressive phase.
This is like black metal rock and roll.
It's black and roll. It's like progressive black and roll, yeah.
Because I know death and roll is a thing.
It's all a thing.
Well, either way, this is not what I expected when I was like, okay.
When you saw Enslaved, I was hoping for that reaction.
Like, okay, I'm going to go for this ride.
It's black metal, I get it.
It's just going to be this drony, long thing. Which is fine.
With like bad recording quality.
Which I love. I love that shit. I love that shit.
It gets a little old.
I like it.
Anyway.
Whatever. We've talked about this before.
I know a bunch.
It was good. I mean, it was a well-made record. I'm not a fan.
No, I know that.
But it was a well-made and recorded, well-thought-out songwriting. The singers all over the place on it. Do they have more than one singer?
They may. I know there's like the one main guy. Sounds like
three different people.
There is the one main guy. And then they may have like guests.
I don't like it when he sings.
Yeah, that's probably the same guy.
Usually when people have the scream like.
Or the growl, they very rarely can also sing well. Despite them trying. It's typically not that great.
I mean, it's an album.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
It's a good album.
There's, like, major chords and shit, like, right out of the gate.
Yeah,
and I was like, what the fuck is this? I don't have anything bad to say about it, but I don't have anything great to say about it.
It's kind of...
So, I know you don't like Entombed, but there was a point when Entombed stopped being death metal.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I was... What? What's going on here? Because I'm like, this sounds like a stoner rock and roll record.
It's almost black metal.
Almost black metal in spots. I liked the black metal vocals over the rock and roll a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I listened to it twice. Nothing really stuck out to me particularly, but like, it's good. I don't know if that would be the one I would suggest to somebody listening to them for a first time.
Well, they're one of those weird bands.
Do they get more and more in that direction as they go?
They did some more albums like that, and they always kind of, like, even like their newest shit, like, they kind of keep that.
And they switch band members.
Yeah, there's like a singer, bass player, and the guitar player have been the original from way back. Like, I think the guitar, like when the first album came out, the guitarist was like 14 or 15. Like, Norway is full of like black metal bands that like they had their first releases with kids, like legitimate kids. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, actually, the album that I would love to send you is like their next one. Vertebrae.
You can send it to me.
Which came out in like 2008, I think.
Okay.
And that one, and this is granted coming from a dude who doesn't really like Pink Floyd, that one totally has a Pink Floyd vibe.
A Pink Floyd vibe black metal record?
Just because it kind of does like that prog rock thing. but even a little like better than Rune.
I was thinking.
But I like this stuff. I actually do enjoy, like, I like their early just straight up black metal shit. And I'm not typically a black metal guy, but.
I could take it or leave it.
Yeah. Like, there's some bands I do enjoy, but then by and large, it's like, yeah, the rest of it just kind of sounds the same to me. So, whatever.
That's why I don't need a lot of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want the grimy old shit.
But what I enjoy about Enslaved is, like, they weren't content with that, so they branched out.
Yeah, no,
and started doing other shit.
It's, you know, there's a lot.
There's a lot going on
that record.
Yeah.
It keeps going, and I'm like, nothing sounds the same ever as it goes. And that was something I definitely noticed.
But it goes together.
I had to pay attention.
Yeah, it's a thinking record.
Like, there's definitely droney black metal parts where it's just.
And then there's rock and roll.
And then I would like zone off, and then it would do something else.
Again. And then
like,
it's weird shit.
Is this the same band?
Yeah, same fucking song.
So yeah, if you want a weird black and roll record,
yeah,
get Enslaved's Rune from 2006.
Because it's pretty awesome.
And that's our 2006.
It's the four albums, 2006.
What up?
Boom. Do you have a topic for next time?
I did, and I fucking forgot it.
How come you didn't write that down?
Dude, you know what? I might have. I don't think I did. I don't think I did. It was one of those. The what phone is sitting 2 feet. Oh, I don't know. I think those are butterflies.
Those are butterflies? I know those are your socks. I'm not asking about socks.
I don't know. Okay. It looks like an acorn.
Well, it's almost like a bow tie, and then... There is some nature stuff that I'm just very confused by it.
I don't know, but I want to eat mushrooms and look at these.
Yeah. They were probably designed by somebody on mushroom.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
I was going to say something. Oh.
You were going to tell us what the topic was next time.
Did I?
Or it's going to be a mystery.
It might have to be a mystery.
For everyone
listening. Dude, this was one of those things where like I was sitting about 2.5 feet away from my phone. High as shit. And it popped into my head. And I was like, I need to write this down.
And it didn't.
I just didn't. And I kept thinking at it, and I didn't. I thought I...
No, and then it was game over.
It was game over. That's when all of my good ideas happen, when I can't...
When it's game over?
When it's game over.
Oh, it's terrible.
I got nothing in here. So, wait. Oh.
Oh, no.
I got one.
Oh,
I got one. This is
an old... Don't roll back your cats under the chair.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Oh, geez, you're going to be breaking cat feet.
Next episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Soundtracks that are better than the movie. Yeah. Easy.
Probably, yeah.
Soundtracks that are better than the movie.
So, like...
We don't use examples.
No. So, like, not could it also be like the music, like the score?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
Okay. Because, you know, sometimes you have a movie that has a soundtrack and the musical score. You know what I mean?
We don't need to do 2001.
I love that movie.
I know, but it's so boring. And the soundtrack is just as boring.
Yeah, I wouldn't even do that soundtrack. I really like that movie.
But anyways, yeah, soundtracks that are better than the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be super easy.
I feel like we're going to send each other like at least one of the same thing. But I've got one in the vault for you.
You know what? I'm going to send you one that's like super embarrassing and probably does not hold up. And okay. I'll be honest, I haven't listened to it since I was 12.
Oh, I want to send you one of them right now. I think I'm going to.
Go ahead.
I'm doing this. Please let it be on here.
Oh, man. Soundtracks that are better than the movie.
Is it here? Oh, God, it's totally here. Fucking... Sometimes it's hard to get soundtracks.
Okay.
Because of the songs will just get spread out and people have to make playlists of soundtracks for some reason. I don't know why. But this one is on here.
Okay.
And I am sending it to you right now.
Right now.
So good.
Let's do it. Can I talk about it when it pops up?
No.
Dude, really?
No.
It's terrible. Let's see what it is.
Oh, dude.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to send you one that's similar.
Now, do we have to watch the movie, too?
Here's the thing.
Give it 3 weeks.
I remember liking that movie.
I don't remember anything about it.
But again, it probably does. Like, here's the thing. A lot of things from, like, the mid to late, like, they don't hold up from the mid-90s.
We could do an episode other than we're just watching, like, the movie.
Strictly nostalgia. That could be a bonus.
We could sit there and watch a movie.
Because I remember liking this movie.
I just remember when I was a kid. Two people that are in it, and that's all I remember.
Emilio Estevez.
Oh, he's in it too.
Why? Who are you thinking of? Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary, yeah. and Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg's in it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So there's those three.
Yeah.
And there's probably some others if we watched it. Be like, sure. Oh yeah. Fucking
game. I don't remember fuck all about that movie except it was not good.
Dennis Leary's chasing those other dudes to kill him because they witnessed a murder.
Yeah. Anyway.
So if anyone has seen that movie.
You know what the soundtrack is. That's the soundtrack. And you're probably my age.
And you know what? I am going to send you a eerily similar soundtrack.
Okay.
Yeah. Different movie, obviously, but like it's eerily similar, like what they did.
I have three on deck in my brain.
Oh, right now. Man.
I'm like, I just want to go for it, and I can't.
Go ahead.
I can't because I have to decide.
Oh.
Because then I'm going to send this to you. It was like the last one, the last, the 2006. I sent you the first one I knew was coming.
Right.
And then the other one was really hard because there was a lot of records that came out that year that I'm like, yeah, I like that one a whole bunch. But so
I'm just trying to think of like bad movies.
With good soundtracks.
But like, I don't.
And I could think of like ones with scores.
I should really totally cool send you like Forrest Gump.
I have it on CD.
The double CD, yeah.
It's really good.
It's not bad.
I'll get high and clean the house, and I'm like, thanks.
Yeah. It's like every
but number. I love that movie.
It's love all right.
That movie.
It's all right.
I love it.
When's the last time you watched it?
I bet I watch at least a chunk of it every year.
Okay, because it's just if always it's on somewhere.
I will stop what I'm... I'll finish it.
I like that with Shawshank.
I like those time-lapse kinds of movies.
Yeah, where it just goes... It's just
like, oh, we went through the 80s.
It's a few decades.
I like that. I think that's
just cool. All right.
Like
so
Blows like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with Gump, it's just... Like, really, like, this one person was around for every major fucking...
It caused them. That was like,
had something to do
pop with culture
every
or
major fucking thing in the second half of the of the 20th century.
The Have a Nice Day or the Shit Happens.
Shit Happens, yeah. Like, what?
Shit.
It happens. Give me a break.
Have a nice day.
But yeah, no, I liked it. I might still if I watched it again. I don't know.
What, Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
We don't need to do that soundtrack, but it is fantastic.
No, we won't.
You can listen to it if you want, and you're going to be like, yeah, this is pretty
good. No, I have listened to it a bunch. Like, my mom had it when I was a kid, and she would clean the house.
All I want to be is a housewife.
You just want to be my mom.
I just want to be a housewife.
I'm like a...
I want to wear pajamas all day.
Oh, that was the thing. Because I do a bunch of housework after, I drop the kids off at school, and then I go home, and I, like, do laundry and vacuum and shit. And when I talk about it on stage, I've been saying, I'm kind of like a 1950s housewife, but without the meth addiction and alcoholism. Like, I'm not constantly eating speed and chugging vodka.
Ugh.
Chain smoking Marlboros.
Those were the days.
Or fuck no, Virginia Slims.
In the '50s?
Yeah, they were
probably fucking non filters of some form.
No, they had Marbs out by then.
Did they?
Yeah. Do you know why the cowboy man exists? The Marlboro cowboy man?
No.
Because Marlboro was like the first widely distributed filtered cigarette.
Okay.
And a lot of people did not think it was masculine because they had filters. And so they came up with this rugged cowboy image.
Neat.
Yeah. Not fucked up. Anyway, I like that Miller High Life did the opposite during World War II to sell beer.
They did too.
High Life?
Yeah.
They fucking put it in a slender bottle and called it the champagne of beer to sell it to women.
Well.
And you know what? I fucking love that beer. So I don't know if it worked back then, but it works. Well, I don't drink anymore. But when I did, I loved me the champagne of beer.
I was
and Peebs.
I mean, I was into PBRs, and we had the fun. We drank the Yinlings for a while.
When you got them.
When you got them, now you can get them anywhere.
Just about. Well, no, it's you can go to Mass and get them.
I think you can get them here too.
Oh,
pretty sure.
Maybe doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter
because we don't drink.
And beer's stupid. I'd rather drink a fucking bottle of vodka to my face.
Well, that's why you don't drink, Scrammy.
No. Tequila's great.
Oh, I like high-end tequila.
Oh, I like.
Like yeah, actual high.
I can't
like,
drink the shitty. The rock
gut
bottle.
Is rock gut. Nah, you can't do it. Tequila is one of those things that you get what you pay for.
Patron is so good.
It's all right.
So I got a Patron story. So
do you know who owns Patron?
No.
Oh. It used to be it might still be the shampoo guy.
I thought you were going to say
Paul Mitchell.
I thought you were going to say it was like P. Diddy or something.
I mean, maybe. I'm sure a rapper's bought it. But Paul Mitchell used to own it.
So speaking of rappers and Patron. So I used to work for a venue in the area, and quite often we would have lots of rappers before. We had a lot of dudes from the Wu-Tang Clan play there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, we would get, like, Slick Rick to play there, and Cool Keith would come through quite a bit, and, like, KRS-One played there, like, four times.
That's such a small room.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
But one year, Coolio came.
Well, I mean, he's pretty much past prime.
Before I get to the other part, the funny part of one of the funny parts about this is it got double booked. And the other act that got booked, and I don't remember the name of him, but do you remember the show Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
So Redheaded Pete has a band.
I heard he was like a punk rocker.
It was like a jam band.
Okay. So and not a punk rocker.
It was a jam band from my understanding because
Did you double book?
No, I had nothing to do with any of it.
Oh, okay.
I just heard about it
after.
Like during.
Oh.
Like that day.
Continue.
Anyway, so the show got double booked. Pete and Pete's band was also supposed to play the same night as Coolio. So they said, fuck it. And they just let Pete and Pete open up for Coolio. Which I think is pretty fun. Yeah, yeah. They were like, we might as well. Who cares? There's going to be a shitload of people here.
Okay.
And these people will totally be cool seeing Coolio do a 40-minute set.
Right.
Why not? So anyway, he's sponsored by Patron. So like
Coolio?
Yeah.
Right.
So he's got to do like a little thing, like
he's
a photo.
Just have it with him.
He's got to do a photo with it and shit. But from what I understand, he doesn't really drink. So.
Is this water in the shot glass?
I don't know,
but whatever.
I went up to the owner's apartment like probably a couple days later, and he's like, "You like Patron, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Here," and he gives me his whole bottle of Patron, and he's like, "This was Coolio's," and like, he didn't want it.
He probably gets one like
every show.
Yeah.
So that's my Coolio, Patron, and Pete story.
I wonder if that's like the sponsorship. Like, here, you get a bottle of tequila. It's like,
I mean, we already serve Patron.
That's cool. Like, I don't drink.
I did book somebody once that drank way too much Patron before he went on, and he fucking ruined the night. And I won't say his name, but he's a little bitch.
Do you remember when you made us crash in Connecticut?
At Opus's house?
Was that his name?
Yeah.
The drummer dude, right?
Yeah. He was in Gargantuan Soul and Dead by Wednesday.
Right. So, and he broke your and Phil's and my heart all at the same time when he's like, "Hey, you guys smoke blunts?" And we were all like, "Yeah." And then he just handed us a bunch of blunt wraps.
Because he's sponsored.
Because that's his sponsor.
Yeah.
Like, we were all like, "Sweet, we're going to get high." And he's like, "Here's a bunch of blunt wraps." We're like, "This sucks." Like, what? It's like, is this the sponsorship? They just give you this for free? That's a shitty, like, I'd rather just get paid.
Oh, dude.
But what else?
I kept in touch with that guy for quite a few years. He was playing drums for David Ellefson.
I think you told me about that.
Yeah, and they came down to town, and he called me. He's like, I'll put you on the guest list, and you can meet Dave Ellison. And I'm like, I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I just got really fucking high in the parking lot with Opus.
And then stayed there.
I watched the show of, it was like Opus's band backing up David Ellison, and they played like a bunch of metal songs, like Megadeth songs. I think they did some Iron Maiden. Yeah. And like, it was kind of whack.
Does Dave sing?
No, he just plays bass. And they had different people come up and sing, but I don't even remember if it was, I think it was like people from the crowd.
That is like so shitty. Like, who would pay for that?
It was pre-packed.
I'm sure it was. It's like, hey, come watch this bass player play bass for some.
I mean, like, he had a band, but whatever.
Anyway, I don't know. Whatever.
And
he's not even like, you know, it's not like you're going to go watch Les Claypool fuck around for an hour.
Nope. You're going to hear Jackson bass.
Played with a plectrum.
Yeah, a plectrum.
And like, and he plays, just fuck off. Oh, whatever.
So, in Chris Barnes news.
Oh, I wish I had water so I could spit it out of my nose. Oh, that would have been brilliant. All right, what's your Chris Barnes news?
So, in not 2006, but in 1996, album by Cannibal Corpse called Vile came out.
Yeah.
And Vile is the album after The Bleeding.
Yeah, no, we did a whole episode.
I'm not done. Shut up.
We already talked about this.
No, we have not.
Okay.
We talked about something, but not
this.
And it's not even that big of a deal, so shh.
Continue.
Thank you. In 2006, Vile from Cannibal Corpse came out. 2 years before that, in 1994, if you don't know how to math, was the last album with Chris Barnes called The Bleeding, which is amazing.
It's all right.
And then in between, shut up. In between that, there was demos recorded for Vile, but it wasn't called Vile yet. It was called Created to Kill. And I found all the demos on YouTube. And it's fucking awesome. It's with Chris Barnes singing the songs from Vile.
Yeah, I know.
And it's really good.
They released them all in like the box set.
Did they?
Oh,
I didn't know.
You know what? I've only listened through it once, so it might just be instrumentals with no vocals.
I found it with vocals.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know it's out there. Like, you can get pressings of it. Like,
I found that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I might have to get one. I'll spend money on that.
It's fucking pricey, usually.
I found it. You can get CDs for like $18.
Okay, yeah.
But I would rather have the vinyl if I...
The bootlegged, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I need more Chris Barnes.
See, now I gotta go look it up.
It's on YouTube.
I found No. I gotta find... I'll go into my box set that they released fucking forever ago.
And, so good.
It's all right.
I love Chris Barnes.
He sucks.
You are right.
Like, yeah, that's...
I don't know him. He might be a really cool guy, you know? I mean, he likes to get high and play guitar. We can't be that bad, right?
I don't know. Like, 90% of
people...
You get
high and play guitar. I get high and play guitar. We're okay.
Yeah, we fall in that 10% that are okay.
Oh, so...
I think 90% of the people that get high and play guitar are shitty people.
What? Is it the weed's fault or the guitar's fault?
It's probably the person's fault.
What? Do you know what trauma is?
It's a lifelong excuse. No, I'm fucking with you. No, I don't know what trauma is because I'm your atypical American male and I just push it down. and I have a heart attack when I'm 50.
Well, I'm not, and I am an empathetic nightmare. Fuck.
I live in a house full of anxiety-ridden trauma people.
Oh, God.
Including the fucking dog.
And everything.
No, just...
Just me.
Just strangers. What was that? Oh,
I mean,
my is that why that microphone's dented? You just constantly hit yourself in the mouth?
No. No, it's not.
All right, we're at 45.
Soundtracks that are better than the movie.
Than the movie.
See you next time.
Well, they don't see us anytime.
You know what I mean.
Love you.